What's up, my friends? Dr. David Boyd, and this is the Dr. Boyd Show, your modern medicine matters daily dose. Sit back and relax, because here we go. So the topic I want to discuss with you today is actually a story that's all too familiar, especially here in Phoenix in the summertime. So I'm based out of Phoenix, Arizona, and many of you know that I used to take care of patients at the hospital, decided to leave that line of work and start my own thing, Blind Spot Medical. But one of the things that there's something that a lot of folks don't know around the U.S. and especially here in Phoenix is when illegal immigrants get picked up in the desert, kind of what happens medically. It's something that I didn't know, certainly. So until I started taking care of folks in the hospital and such. So I'll tell you a story about a guy. Let's just call him John. For privacy, okay? And this is a pretty common story. Like, this happens frequently, especially in the summertime in Phoenix. So I remember I got called down to the emergency room, and there's a young man, I'd say 23, 24 years old, that was Spanish-speaking only, and came down, and he was in pretty bad shape. So he was, like, kind of early stages of kidney failure. Had he not gotten medical intervention pretty quick, things would have been very bad for him. So the story goes is he was basically picked up in the desert by Border Patrol, had run out of water, was very, very weak. Like, they had found him kind of like laying there in the, like between some bushes, some brush, and checked him out, had him airlifted to the closest hospital, which was the hospital that I was working at. And that's how he ended up there in the ER. So here's this guy. He's probably, you know, 140 pounds. Looks fairly fit, not malnourished or anything. You know, dirty from being in the desert, kind of covered in dust and so forth. With his kidney function was all jacked up. His electrolytes were an absolute mess. And the ER docs had done a great job of putting fluids and everything in him, so that way they were already. He was already starting to be on the mend. But basically what happens medically from folks being dehydrated and having a heat exhaustion, which is kind of like pre-heat stroke, what happens is kidney function really starts to go down. You have muscle fibers that start getting broken down, and the kidneys are filters, so they're processing all that. It's called rhabdomyolysis is the fancy medical term. And as they're breaking down that broken up microscopic bits of muscle, it makes them work so hard that often they fail. And so you have to wash out the kidneys. So lots and lots of fluids, basically days of IV fluids, lots of IV fluids until you hopefully restore their kidney function. And that's what happened with this guy. And everything turned out medically well for him. But I cared for him for probably about a week while he was in the hospital. And during this time, here he is in the hospital room with two Border Patrol agents. He's handcuffed to the bed. And he had two Border Patrol agents, like, you know, 24 hours a day watching this guy. And he was not a threat. It's nothing like that. It's just, That's their policy, not questioning Border Patrol's policy, not questioning how important it is to protect our borders. Like, you know, that's all good. But more so, what I was interested in with this young man was why. Why was he in the desert in the first place? You know, why was he, he knew that he was, you know, putting his life on the line. I think very often, we're kind of fed all this stuff from media of either the plight of folks and how bad they have it, or the opposite, how you know, drugs are brought into the country and that, you know, folks coming through are drug mules, and kind of fed both angles, right? And so I was like, well, what's the actual story? Like, let me actually talk to this guy and see, like, what were you doing in the desert, dude, in the first place? And in my broken Spanish, was able to have a series of conversations with this young man. And it was a real gift for me, because what I got from it, he was from Honduras and was making his way. He had um, he had paid his way to like a smuggler. He had like his life savings was a couple thousand dollars, and he had paid his way to a smuggler to basically get him into Mexico and start making his way like across the U.S. border, and was hiking through. That was it. And I asked him, well, why? Like, what was it so bad that was going on that like you decided to risk your life to come to the U.S.? And he had described, you know, gang violence in the town that he was from, that he had, you know, his family was basically depending on him to come to the U.S. to make money, to send money back, to support his mom and his sisters and so forth. His dad had died. And that was it. And so it was kind of inspiring to me on a couple of different levels. Why? Because that's similar to the origin stories of my family. Like if I go back, you know, hundreds of years ago and trace my lineage back, it's the same story. Like the side of the family that came from Ireland or the side of the family that came from Italy, you know, it's basically the same thing. They took this, things were bad conditions where they were at. They decided, you know what, there's going to be more opportunity in the United States. And maybe we can then help support the family back home. Same story. We're a nation of immigrants. So that was case number one of how great this country is. And that there's for all of the things that are goofed up, you know, that are not great about this country, still pretty damn good. Second thing was, you think about the effort, like the tremendous effort that it took on this man's part, literally to walk from Honduras to Arizona. Massive, like massive effort, massive courage to do it in the first place. All for what? For chance. And so for me, I think about that every time that I'm starting to feel lazy, every time I'm like, you know what? I'd rather sit on the couch today, you know, or I'm not going to go to the gym, or, you know, it's too hot outside. I don't want to go for a run because it's uncomfortable. I think of this kid to me, he was like 23, 24, I'm 45. I think of this guy and I think to myself, you know what? Like, look at the opportunities that I have just being here in the U.S., having legs that work, able to move myself around, having kidneys that work, which at his time, you know, his weren't working that well. And the blessings that we have. So I share that story with you simply for that reason. All too often, we end up making excuses for ourselves. I know I've made so many over the years. I've gotten in my own way so many times in my life and have had a degree of success, but that success would have been more so and would have come faster and so forth had I not stood in my own way. Had I not made excuses, had I not looked with gratitude with where I was, and then looked to where I could go if I continue to push forward step by step. And that's what I hope this echoes with you today here in that story of this young man we'll call John. Because we're all called to a better version of our life. And on a journey of personal development, consider that that all actually begins with your health. Like without your health, you don't have anything. This guy walking through the desert almost died. Whatever opportunities he could have had, if he was dead, then you can't have the opportunities. That's pretty freaking simple, right? You can have all the ambition you want, but if you're dead, it doesn't really, you're not going to make it. Kind of the in-between is you can have all the ambition you want, but if you're not healthy, if you're 40 pounds overweight, if you're feeding your body garbage, if you have medical issues that you don't even know that you have because you have the story in your head that, I'm fine, or nah, can't happen to me, which I've seen it go very, very wrong all too many times. That if you stop and look at your health first and say, okay, that is the foundation of everything. Let me address my health first. Let me take the step-by-step like method each day so that way I can be the fittest and best version of myself, that that's the platform from there you can really build a life that you want. And we start asking yourself the questions of what you really want and why you want it. Then you can answer, how do you actually go about getting it from a platform of strong health? That's what I got for you today, my friends. We certainly have methods to help you to have the best version of your life possible on a foundation of strong health. If you are an entrepreneur, if you're a successful entrepreneur, and you really want a completely different healthcare experience that is certainly not the norm, I would encourage you to check out blindspotmedical.com. Blindspotmedical.com begins with ultimate human analysis, and then some folks are invited to become platinum patients as personal patients of mine, where I take care of them and their family so they have a very different healthcare experience from the convention. If you're more so in that space, if you're a man in Arizona or California, and you're really looking to be the best version of yourself, and you want something that is more of an online experience that is certainly personalized to you, that is more focused on getting your hormones right as well as fitness, nutrition, etc. Alpha One Protocol, alpha1protocol.com. You should check that out. And that's for gentlemen in Arizona and California. So what I got for you today, my friends, remember, health is wealth. Invest in yourself, and I'll be coming at you again soon. It's Dr. Boyd, signing off.